Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is something burning? No, it's just time for the WIP Evening Show Hot Stove Check-In.
Yes, it is that time of night, the Hot Stove Check-In, and I will say, looking forward to this one. Not only could I use a 10-minute reprieve from yelling about the Eagles and being upset about a 5-7 football team, but we're getting to the point of the offseason here where things will actually start picking. Actually, baseball has had a very active last couple days, last week or so, with move. The Phillies have not really been part of that and claiming some relievers off the scrap heap, but this all will pick up soon. The winter meeting starts next week, and the Phillies have work to do. Yesterday, DFAing Cesar Hernandez. Goodbye. He's not non-tendered, I should say. Non-tendering Cesar Hernandez. Non-tendering Michael Franco. The infield's going to look different. Matt Gelb, the Athletic, wrote about it. And, of course, there's that little problem of pitching that they have to address this offseason as well. He joins us right now to talk about this Phillies offseason. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Joe. You can just yell at me about the Phillies. I mean, it's just a lot of yelling. It's not the Eagles, but still being upset.
Yeah, you know what? I think I got all my Phillies yelling out around the time of early October, but I'm sure I'll do it again soon. Matt, no, I want to be excited, and I think this will be – well, I'll put it this way. I am less certain of what this offseason will look like. Last year, I was pretty sure if they just waited things out, they were going to get a Harper or a Machado and kind of refocus the organization with a superstar. They did. This one, I know they need pitching, and you wrote about the infield, but do you have a good feeling on where this is going? Because I don't know what they're going to look like, you know, in a month or two from now.
To be quite honest, no, Joe. I mean, there are so many different scenarios right now, and I think, you know, I know there are people upset because it is moving a little slow right now, but this is how the baseball season tends to work. You mentioned that it has been active, and I do think, you know, we might see a little more of a quicker pace this offseason than last offseason, which felt like an eternity because it was. But, you know, beyond the obvious, I mean, the fact that they have to add at least one, probably two starting pitchers, they need to go get at least one, probably two infielders. I don't know if you're going to see them shopping in the most expensive aisles again. And let's not forget, you know, this is a team that has spent more money in free agency in the past two off seasons than any other team in baseball. And that's not to suggest that they don't have money to spend right now, because they do. They still have money to spend. I just don't know if they're going to be shopping in that most expensive aisle. So you might see them try to spread the money around that they have and try to fill all these different holes.
Matt, yesterday, the non-tender deadline, they said goodbye to Cesar Hernandez and Michael Franco. Neither are surprises, but as you wrote last night, it does make what was probably obvious, clearly obvious. They need to reshape this infield. And all we know right now is they have Rhys Hoskins at first base. They have Gene Segura under contract. He'll probably play somewhere on the infield, assuming he's here. And they have Scott Kingery, who could be in the infield. He could be in the outfield. It feels like infield is becoming a major priority. It has to be now because of the moves they made yesterday.
Yeah, and so, you have two guys. You have four spots to fill, and you have two guys who are going to fill two of those spots. You just don't know what spots they're going to fill. So that does give them the luxury of pursuing different things. I mean, they can if there's a shortstop available like D.D. Gregorius, they could go after him because they could move Segura to second or third. They could move Kingery to second or third. They can move Kingery to center. If there's a third baseman they like, a la Josh Donaldson, they can go get him because Kingery and Segura could play up the middle. If there's a second baseman who becomes available in a trade, for example, I mean, they can go get that second baseman because they know Kingery could play third or center. I mean, it does give them these options. I think Joe Girardi, as he said tonight earlier, talking to a few of us reporters, you know, I think they'd like to get Kingery one permanent spot. We're not sure where that spot is going to be. They like that versatility, but I think they see value in trying to give him just one set spot, no matter where that might be, maybe third, center, second. Probably not short, but maybe shortstop. I think they want to give him one set spot, but it gives them more options. I mean, it just makes it, like, really unclear right now what's going to happen. when we get to spring training in Clearwater.
Matt, in your kind of choose your own adventure possibilities you wrote about last night, one of them touched on the idea, and you mentioned his name here, Josh Donaldson, third baseman, had a great year last year with the Braves and killed the Phillies. That option, and the idea of if they did that, maybe potentially trading top prospect, third base prospect Alec Bohm for pitching. And Matt, while in a vacuum, I understand it and I kind of like the idea, I have a fear, Matt, that they're going to prioritize 2020 over the big picture. And I just wonder if that long-term is the best play. If they did something like that, how much do you think they're going to weigh needing to win next year versus kind of what Matt Klentak preached when he first got this job, which was not just winning for 1 year, but sustainability within winning?
Well, it's a great question, Joe, because, you know, the guys making those decisions right now, I mean, it's fair to say that there are jobs at stake here. You know, I mean, this front office is under pressure to win in 2020. So, you know, when you talk about building a sustainable organization, that's ideal. I mean, that is what you want. That is what teams try to do. But if in the back of your mind you're a general manager and you're thinking, well, who am I building the sustainable organization for? Is it for the guy who's going to take over for me? And look, like, you know, GMs, and Matt Klentak has said this, he's not making decisions based on his job security. He's making decisions for the best of the organization, for the Philadelphia Phillies. But it has to enter your mind. I mean, right? I mean, you have an owner in John Middleton who has made it quite clear that he is upset and disappointed with, you know, the way things have gone the last few years. He's spent quite a bit of money on payroll in the last 2 years to try to make a winner again. And it's a really delicate balance. And you're right. I mean, swapping somebody like Bohm, who is their best position player prospect and in a thin system, and bringing in a guy like Donaldson, who, you know, is in his mid-30s now and has probably, you know, only got a few good productive years left. I mean, you're really making things dicey for 2021 and 22 and 23, but then you're like, well, does it matter? I mean, like, if you win in 2020, that's great, but they have such long odds here because, you know, you're looking at the division and the Braves and the Nationals aren't going away in 2020. I mean, it's a really complicated picture right now, and it's a tough spot for the general manager. I mean, it's not an excuse. I think we can just acknowledge that this is a really tough spot for this front office.
It is. And Matt, I think with what they do this offseason is going to really dictate how they spend Bryce Harper's prime. Like, last year was huge because they got him, and now they got to put a good team around him. Obviously, pitching is a priority, Matt. I think they need two legitimate starters, not just one. We'll see what they do. But you mentioned that in the beginning here, they're probably not going to shop at the highest aisles. And I would guess that means probably no to Gerrit Cole, probably no to Steven Strasburg. Now, the rumors the last couple of days have had a lot of teams connected to Zach Wheeler, who's probably the third best starter. I haven't seen the Phillies' name. Doesn't mean they're not in it. But if they don't get one of those three, where does that leave them? Because I'm just wondering about this game of musical chairs with, the five or six or seven best pitchers. And if they don't get one of the top three, it feels like it starts to get dicey kind of quickly here.
Yeah, it does, because then you're looking at that second tier and you're probably trying to spread it out. I mean, maybe, you know, you think about a guy like Madison Bumgarner, although, you know, Philadelphia might be a tougher sell for, you know, for a guy like him who's played on the West Coast. He's from North Carolina. I mean, you know, it could be a tougher sell. But, yeah, you're looking at those middle-tier guys, and you're going to have a lot of competition for those guys. And if you don't want to get into a bidding war for a pitcher that you think is maybe like a number three or number four starter in your rotation, you know, that might put them out of a lot of these free agents. So then you get into dicey territory. You're right, and they don't have a robust farm system to trade from. You know, if they wanted to trade for a number two or number three starter, you know, they're probably going to have to deal one of their better prospects, and they don't have a lot of those guys right now. So you're right, Joe. I mean, this is dicey. I mean, I think that, you know, Zach Wheeler is a guy that they like. I also think that, you know, if he does sign sometime this week or next week, which it sounds like, according to reports, you know, he might be getting closer to decision, I would be really surprised to see the Phillies engage in a bidding war, you know, this early in the season, in the offseason, excuse me, because, you know, they have other options. We've seen this before. They, you know, they like to see how the market plays out. You know, but then you take him off the board and you got a bunch of teams that are looking for pitching, and the price is just going to go up on some of these middle-tier guys, and you might have to pay that price.
Matt Gelb joining us here talking Phillies as we enter the interesting part of the offseason with the winter meetings starting next week. Matt, last year they acted pretty fast when they were in the winter meetings, and they signed McCutchen almost kind of out of nowhere. It was like, wow, boom, Andrew McCutchen is a Philly. If there's a player this year that kind of fits that bill, maybe Didi Gregorius. I'm trying to think where they could go quickly, sign a guy they think they need it, could use. I know you mentioned Girardi tonight, praise his ex-player.
Yeah, I think if you look to see them strike quick, it would be on the infield. Maybe Didi Gregorius or maybe Josh Donaldson. You know, for example, Anthony Rendon, you know, is reportedly meeting with a couple teams this week, the Dodgers, and the Rangers. He's already, you know, met with the Nationals and they've made an offer. So maybe Rendon comes off the board sometime soon, within the next 2 or 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden those teams that lose out on Rendon might try to move on Donaldson. So you could see that market move quick. Gregorius, he makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, the dots are very easy to connect. Joe Girardi managed him. The Phillies have a need at shortstop. He would give them some range. He's probably not looking for a super long deal because he wants to sort of reestablish some value after an injury-plagued season. He makes a ton of sense. But as we've seen before, I mean, the Phillies don't always operate in the most straightforward fashion. They do things that surprise us. They don't do things that we thought they would do. This one, to me, just makes too much sense, though. I mean, I think if you see them, you know, strike quick, like you said, in the next 2 weeks or so, he's the guy who makes the most sense to me.
All right, last one for you, Matt. I'm going to throw a scenario at you. I just want to get your reaction to it because I'm trying to piece the puzzle together just like I think everybody else is, and how they get better, what they do, how they become creative here. And I think we could all agree they don't have a great and deep farm system to use. So do you think there's any chance something like this happens? Donaldson arrives to play third base. They don't want to give up on the idea of their best position prospect in a while in Alec Boehm, who probably can't play third long-term anywhere, or at least might not be good there. Do you think there's any chance, Matt, that they decide to try to move Boehm to first base and explore the idea of trading Rhys Hoskins for the kind of high-end pitcher they can't get in free agency?
Yeah, I think there's a chance, but I don't know that Hoskins would fetch that right now. I mean, you would be selling really low on Rhys Hoskins, and he's coming off of a disappointing season, especially a disappointing second half. You know, his value isn't as high as it was last offseason or even before that. So I don't know how you could, you know, really give up on him like that. And I also am not sure that he, you know, would fetch a, you know, quote-unquote top-of-the-rotation starter in a trade right now. I mean, because of the season he had last year and because he plays first base, which is not really a premium position right now. So, you know, I think he has more value to them in a bounce-back season than he would in a trade right now. But like you said, I mean, if they think that Donaldson and Boehm is an upgrade over Hoskins plus, you know, whatever they would do at third base, maybe half a season of Boehm and half a season of a stopgap kind of guy, then that's something they have to explore. But I just don't see them trading low on Rhys Hoskins right now.
It's going to be a fascinating offseason. Matt, we'll be reading. I appreciate you hopping on tonight, and we'll certainly be following along as it all goes down. The Phillies try to go from where they are, the middle, to a contender again. Matt, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
There he goes. Matt Gelb joining us there. I've been saying it for a month now. I just don't think this offseason is going to be easy for Matt Klentak. There's a bunch of different paths they could go down, and I'll say this because Bumgarner came up there. Donaldson came up there. And I look, in a vacuum, I love Josh Donaldson. And I think he'd be a fan favorite here. He plays the game the way I think this town would appreciate. Like Mike McCutcheon was last year before he got his injury. I would love Josh Donaldson. If it's a big game, I want Madison Bumgarner on the mound. But those guys are over 30, trending old. Bumgarner is not the pitcher he was 3 years ago. Donaldson has had injury issues. My biggest fear with the Phillies this offseason is that they are going to prioritize 2020 over everything moving forward. Tucker, I just have this sinking fear that the Phillies are going to do something to make themselves a playoff team next year, 2022, 2023, be damned.
And it's clear, like, based on what Matt just said about Matt Klentak maybe fearing for his job, like, the Eagles need, or not the Eagles, the Phillies need to make the postseason if Andy McPhail, if Matt Klentak want to keep their jobs, right? Like, this team, when they started the rebuild, they wanted sustainability.
Yep.
They wanted to build something long-term that could remain successful so we didn't have that bottoming out that we saw following the 2011 season. And then the signing of Bryce Harper, even the signing of Jake Arrieta, that kind of all sped things up and kind of took it off the tracks. And the most worrisome thing for me is this is the first time in Matt Klentak's time as Phillies GM where the best moves aren't the most obvious, right? Like, the best move that the Phillies have made since he's been hired would be the signing of Bryce Harper.
Right.
That was an obvious move. right? And even the signing of McCutchen, that was an obvious move to upgrade the outfield. Signing Arrieta seemed like an obvious move to upgrade the rotation.
They need a veteran in the rotation.
They haven't negotiated any deals that make you go, huh, that's interesting. Like, there's been such a lack of creativity on the part of the Phillies front office that makes me worried for this offseason.
I'm worried too. And look, there's good players out there. This is a pretty good free agent class. They can make their team better. But what's the way they do it, and how does it affect things? Look, the Didi idea seems seamless. They move Segura to second. Didi plays short. Kingery to third until Boehm is ready. And the way Klentak talked tonight, I saw a couple quotes. Seems like they think Boehm's going to be ready next year. Kingery platoons with Hazley in center when that's over. Like, there's a path to making this thing work, and Kingery plays some short, some second, some third, some center. I think there's a lot of value to Scott Kingery playing multiple positions for the Phillies long term. So I think that he helps them build this roster. But as I mentioned to Matt there, look, they don't seem like they're shopping in the Gerrit Cole aisle, and he referenced that as well. They don't seem like they're shopping in the Steven Strasburg aisle. Those are clearly the top two pitchers. I would rank Zach Wheeler as the third most, the best pitcher right now. And I think there's a lot of concerns with him, but it seems like he might sign quickly, $100 million. I wouldn't pay him, a lot of injuries, blah, blah, blah. He might go off the board quickly. So, and I did a list a couple weeks ago of the top 15 available starting pitchers. Number six, Jake Odorizzi, took the qualifying offer from Minnesota. He's off the board. One and two, they're not going to bid on, it seems like, or they're not in this. Okay, that's two off the board. If Wheeler signs and they don't want to pay him what he's going to get, and I get that, that's three off the board. That's four of the top six off the board. All of a sudden, the top pitchers are not available anymore. So they're going to have to figure out a way to bridge winning now, improving, and making this all work. And I think the key to this offseason is going to be a trade. They're going to have to figure out a prospect or two they can ship out, or an established player or two they can ship out for a pitcher, because I don't think they're going to find two worthwhile starting pitchers on the market that they're going to go get unless they actually bid on Cole and Strasburg, because then you get one of those two guys and a second-tier guy. I just think after that, it's a crapshoot. 888-729-9494. That is how you get aboard. A little hot stove check in there. We'll do a lot more of it. Winter meetings, my favorite moment of the offseason, starts next week. Can't wait to talk about it and what the Phillies will do. But the last thought before we go back to the phone lines here, I am perfectly fine with the Phillies not giving $100 million to Zach Wheeler. Perfectly fine. He has been potential since the moment he got to the big leagues 7 years ago. He has been more potential than he is substance. He's, in 7 years, been a league average pitcher by adjusted ERA. Average. He's 30 years old next season, and he's going to get $100 million. I will say no thanks to that one. 888-729-9494. Back to the phone lines we go. Eric in Conshohocken's up. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good, man. How you doing, Eric?
Pretty good, pretty good. All right, so let's keep this in perspective. So Dallas did lose to Buffalo, which was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
It was a horrible loss in Miami. It was nobody can explain it, really. I mean, if you look at it, if you look at the game, we scored 31 points against that team. You know, our defense let us down. But if you look at the big picture, just for this year, I know after this year we're going to have lots of questions that have to be answered. But just for this year, we're playing the Giants two times. The Giants are 2-10. We're playing the Redskins, who are also terrible. Dallas, we play here. I think all four of those games we have a good chance to win. If we win, we're in the playoffs. That's where we sit today. You can look at the Dolphins game as just one of those games. I know they lost to Detroit, and they lost to Atlanta. Games that we shouldn't have lost as a team that's halfway decent. But if you look at just today, right now, the Dolphins game could be a meaningless game going forward if we win the next four.
Yeah, it could be. Unfortunately, it feels like they realized that too, Eric, when they took the field on Sunday, because they acted like it was a meaningless game. And you're right. I mean, what you're saying is correct. It's just hard for me to wrap my mind around a team that is 5-7 is going to win four in a row. It just feels like it's just not going to happen.
But against the competition, it's pretty reasonable.
But they couldn't beat the Dolphins.
Yeah, I that's a hard game to explain.
It really is.
When you score 31 points, and you're right though. I mean, there were plays in that field that we left in the field.
Yep.
I mean, Wentz, as he wasn't bad. He was halfway decent.
Yeah, I would say he was generally pretty good on Sunday. I liked the way he threw the ball most of the game.
But there were a couple of throws that he overthrew guys. I think, you know, I think he missed Aguilar,
mm-hmm.
I think.
He did, yeah. It was the play that he kind of threw the ball on the ground because the coverage was all over Jeffrey. He locked into Alshon, and if he just looked up, he would have seen Aguilar was like, there was a busted coverage. He was open by 20 yards.
That's kind of been who he's been the past couple seasons, where he's been pretty decent most or a lot of the time, but also just leaves plays in the field, misses guys. That's who he's been for about 2 years now.
It is, and I think 3 years ago when he had his great year, and Eric, I appreciate the phone call. When he had his great year, they were so good, and he was, and he made so many impactful plays that the two or three he missed the game, like they won by 30. So, like, we're not going to talk about it. But when you lose the Dolphins, we're going to talk about it. 888-729-9494, #9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls, your biggest frustration as we air the grievances on the Eagles, and a little Phillies talk as well. Hot stove check-in. Appreciate Matt Gelb joining us. Yes, Zach Wheeler, $100 million. No, no, no. We'll do guest to take review. And Tucker State, he's got a whopper tonight. That's coming up. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.